And welcome to another episode of Intentional Partnerships. I'm with my friend Lindsay Fortin, and we are very excited today about our guest, Vito J. Borrello. We've both known Vito for a while. Vito is the executive director for the National Association for Family, School, and Community Engagement, doing some great work, and we've been working to get him on the show. He is busy, as we are busy, and so we're very glad to get all of our calendars together. I would describe Vito as a force of nature, particularly in this field. He's been doing the work for a while. He's got a great platform. And he has a good vision. And so we're very happy to have him on the show. Lindsay, I know you had to do some work on our scheduling because we've all been trying to do this, but we've also all been doing the work. And so I appreciate you putting in the time to get Vito on.
Yeah, we're really excited. And a lot of the work, you know, we've been talking to people who are on the ground working every single day. Not that Vito is not doing that, but kind of bringing us up a level into this 30,000 foot level, looking at policies and procedures and what it looks like to be a convener at kind of a higher level. So we're excited to get that view today as well.
Yeah. And like I said, that's what we really appreciate, the work that they're doing. And so, Vito, welcome to the show. Tell us about your work with National Association for Family, School, and Community Engagement and some of your background that got you to this point as well.
That sounds great. First of all, Lindsay, thank you. And Mike, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on this podcast. Both of you are partners and we've had longstanding relationships. So really excited to support this effort. So yes, I'm the executive director of the National Association for Family, School, and Community Engagement. I'm actually the founding executive director. NAFSCE was established in September of 2014 with the mission of advancing high impact policies and practices for family, school, and community engagement that promote child development and improve student achievement. As you've mentioned, Mike, I've been in this work for, it's hard to believe, but 23 years. Prior to NAFSCE, I led an organization in New York State that was the largest federally funded parental information resource center in the country from 1999 to 2011. And so that gave me the opportunity to do a lot of national work. And then that, of course, led to this opportunity, and to have the opportunity of working with my colleagues over 23 years was something that I just couldn't pass up. So it's been a labor of love and a wonderful ride. And we're really beginning to grow the field and grow this association, which is something that this field desperately needs.
I would agree.
And Vito, when you talk about, I just kind of want to give people an idea of who all is part of this work, because I know NAFSCE is a convener and has been for the last 4 years that they've been around. And so can you just kind of speak to some of the partners and conveners? Like, I'm talking about education, there's a lot of people in that, but just who else is involved in this work?
Certainly. Some people call us the big tent. You know, there has never been an association, a national professional association, whose sole focus is the advancement of family engagement policy and practice. There are a number of associations that include it in their policy agendas as a variety of other things, but nobody who has a sole focus. And I think, you know, when I was mentioning previously that, you know, the field so desperately needs this, we deserve an association whose simple and sole focus is advancing policy and practice. And that's going to give us a level of laser-like focus to really begin to move the needle in this work. In terms of, you know, who is a part of NAFSCE, it's really any professional or parent leader who touches this work. So for example, we have everything from experts and researchers in the field, higher education, community-based organizations that might focus on parenting education, family engagement in education, after-school providers, because a lot of after-school providers provide family engagement within their communities, Head Start providers. It's a broad range of educators, principals. So this kind of broad range. But I will say that the core group are those professionals that do this work 24 hours a day, whether that is a parent coordinator in a school, a district family engagement director, in a school district, a state education agency family engagement leader, someone in the State Department. And then again, like I said, researchers, policymakers. I would say those are our core members, but it is a really broad field.
Yeah, full disclosure, I am a member of NAFSCE, and I think it's been really beneficial. And that's one of the things that I appreciate that you guys are bringing to the field is this opportunity to converse and learn from so many different people, because for so long, family engagement, I think, was pigeonholed into education. And now we're starting to look bigger than that. And even though we've been doing it in home visiting where we are working for so long, we haven't really called it that. Yeah. And so starting to get that unifying presence of family engagement across all the spectrums, I think is super valuable.
You know, Lindsay, you mentioned that it was family engagement has been pigeonholed. And I would also say that it's sort of been put off to the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So while there are a lot of other education strategies that are integrated approaches. You know, when you think about education, you think about all of these key strategies and they're kind of all working together. When it comes to family engagement, it is often put off to the side. So even when a school, for example, has a parent coordinator who's focused on engaging families, off the perception within a school staff is, oh, that's their job. So now we as teachers and principals and other school staff don't need to engage families. And I think, again, it's an opportunity where having this kind of sole focus and this broad audience of individuals who impact this work, I think really helps for others to understand the importance of that integration.
Well, and that's one of the things that, I mean, I appreciate about you guys. In our work at Strong Fathers, we're trying to go into schools to help them engage fathers and children, which we see as a bigger part and one of the really good ways to engage the whole family. But we're always looking for, you know, community partners and faith-based partners, because there are certain things we don't do for families, but we know families need. And the same thing in the school. You want to engage families in these events or let them feel welcome. But there's so much academic work that we need parents to do. And again, trying to build those partnerships, because I think in some ways I'm okay with silos because people are doing very good work in their place, but we need to have those connected under this idea, because we're all social service, schools, communities and schools are all trying to work with these same families. By integrating that, we just get so much more work done for the sake of kids if we focus on that. I appreciate the broad partnerships that you guys are building and looking forward to working with you guys, you know, from our standpoint of just continuing to build those things out, just because there's not only just a need, but there's so much of an opportunity. So what opportunities are you seeing coming up, you know, with those partnerships that I know we can talk about policy too, but yeah, on the partnership side, what are some things that you're seeing that are outside of the school connecting to the school or the school connecting to the outside that are, you know, helping our family?
Well, let me just say, Mike, because you bring up a great point, and I think this is the great luxury of having a sole focus on advancing family engagement. You and I have had many conversations, and we're talking about how we can address this. But in my opinion, father engagement is often forgotten.
Yeah, so we love your opinion.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is, you know, when people think about engaging families, it's often with the moms. And that's, of course, very important. And others, not just moms, right? Other extended family, often it's grandparents as well. Right. But father engagement is often missing. And the research is so clear about the significant role that fathers play, in particular around the academic success of their children, and in particular, the academic success of their daughters. That is something that we're kind of bringing together. Mike's part of this conversation. Hey, how do we address this issue? How can we really provide a platform to father engagement? And so that's something that we're just beginning to talk about. But up to now, I just feel like that's been something that's primarily been forgotten. Or when you are hearing about fatherhood programs, they're doing great work, but it's a lot more around fatherhood support. It's around incarcerated fathers. It's about how are we helping those fathers who are incarcerated re-enter the community and reconnect to their families? How are we providing job training and all of those things that are absolutely essential? But the issue around engaging their fathers in their child's education is one that's not talked about as much as it needs to be. And hopefully we can support the advancement of that particular essential area of focus.
Yeah, it's been hard for us to move away from that part because that's where a lot of the conversation about fatherhood is. And again, I think it's important work. We actually have a 10-week class for guys on, you know, that are coming through CPS and child support, but it's not for the academics for kids. And our true work at Strong Fathers is focused on that academics. I think you also mentioned that as a challenge when you're engaging social work or communities in schools or different people in the, you know, and Lindsay has a social work background. The challenge is sometimes you can get in that vortex of family drama and in chaos, which is real. But so we're trying to keep the lights on and we're trying to keep people fed and we're trying to do things that I think are very important. And then sometimes we get away from, you know, the point of if this kid has academic success, at least generationally, some of those things will go away. You know, it's the same thing with fatherhood. So I appreciate that. So on your partnerships, what are you seeing? Yeah. Who are some of the players coming into the field or some of those that you want to get into the field that could build those partnerships, you know, into schools and again, back to the academic success for children?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we know is holistic, but we've all got to be on the same page on that.
So I think this is a great question because, and it really speaks to an area that NASSCE is really focusing on. When we talk about partnerships, so often, you know, the assumption is that, well, it's simply about parents and teachers becoming better partners. Sounds good, but there are so many reasons why that isn't happening the way that it needs to. And it's really, it may sound simple, but it's anything but. And so what I mean by that is there are so many systems that are not in place to support that partnership. It's not something that is just a simple, oh, I need to have a better relationship with the family. I just need to make a better effort. That's just not something that is why this isn't happening. Or our parents don't care. I can't tell you how many times I hear that, particularly low-income parents. They don't ever come to the school, so they don't care about their kids. That is not the case. Or these families are hard to reach. And that is not the case. We just haven't figured out how to reach them. That doesn't make them hard to reach. It's not their fault that we haven't been effective at reaching families. So these systems are so very important to the advancement of this work. And we are really trying to tackle this. And it starts at the state level, where states aren't, in my opinion, state education agencies or state education departments have not been properly equipped to build the capacity of schools that are responsible for building the capacity of their staff to engage families. So it's this huge trickle-down effect. In many state education departments, they don't even have a full-time dedicated person with an expertise in family engagement. So you think about that. You think, well, how then can state education agencies hold schools accountable if they don't have the expertise to build the capacity in the first place? And so often they don't. And then those state education departments that happen to have staff in positions, they're often not full-time staff, and they're often mired in low to middle management positions with very little influence on their, you know, their state superintendent or state commissioner. This is really challenging, and from a system standpoint, you know, undermines the kinds of policies that are needed to really prioritize family engagement and really look at it as developing skill sets that engage families. And then when you think about what people call hard-to-reach families and low-income families, well, one of the reasons they're harder to reach, or one of the reasons they're not as engaged in their child's education, perhaps, is the idea that there are a lot of complexities in low-income communities that other communities or more affluent communities don't have. There are often issues of language barriers, transportation barriers, and all of the complexities that are related to poverty. So if educators aren't prepared to engage any family, you can only imagine how difficult it is then to engage families with all of these other complexities that really require a lot more sophistication in how we reach them. So a couple of things that NAFSCE's taking on. One, as I said, is how do we build the capacity of state education departments? We're working with the Council of Chief State School Officers. And if you had told me this would be happening 2 years ago, I would have never believed you. But we are now in the process of working with 18 state education departments across the country, over a third of our country, to develop birth through grade 12 family engagement frameworks. And by the way, the Council for Chief State School Officers happens to be the commissioners for each of our state education departments, their association. So this is the members of Council for Chief State School Officers are the state commissioners themselves. So that is really significant because in many cases, those state ed commissioners don't fully understand family engagement. So now you have a situation where those education professionals, if you will, in the highest levels of influence in education don't necessarily deeply understand the work. So these frameworks are going to really be a roadmap or a strategic plan for a state and thinking about this continuum of family engagement from the birth of a child all the way through the graduation from high school of that child, not separating it from birth to five, you know, to K-12, which is often the way it's looked at. One other thing I want to mention that we can get more deeply into it. So that's certainly one huge systemic area that we are focused on and making great progress in, I believe. Now, the second area, which goes to why state superintendents or state commissioners of education are often not truly prepared to engage families as partners, as educational partners around student achievement and school improvement versus good public relations, is that teachers are not prepared to engage families before the end of the classroom. The research is clear on this. A teacher's number one fear, this was according to the Public Agenda poll, I believe in 2011, an incoming teacher's or a new prospective teacher's number one fear for why they believe they will fail in the profession and ultimately leave it is their lack of preparation to engage families. And so you think about, you know, human nature of, okay, so I'm not prepared to do something. As humans, what we tend to do when we're not prepared to do something is we don't do it or we procrastinate doing it until we need to. And when do we need to? Well, when we're forced to do something, and in the case of a teacher, it might be a crisis or there's a problem with a student. Now they've got to address a family, connect with a family that they've never even built a relationship with. So there's no, you know, sense of trust. And that often isn't prepared to go well because they didn't have that important relationship building first. And then that leads to negative disposition, which is a way of saying that teachers' attitudes toward families aren't positive as they should be. But again, how would we expect them to be when we sort of prepare teachers to fail in this area? It's just not something that is innate. This is a skill set. So I share all that with you because we are also working with the NEA to bring together higher education institutions and several state education agencies to work with us over the next few years on developing what we're calling a pre-service framework. A roadmap for how colleges can create a curriculum, scope, sequence, and standards to advance pre-service family engagement so that teachers are prepared to engage families before the end of the classroom. And then one last thing I want to say about this, which goes all the way up to a state superintendent and actually a secretary of education. Teachers become principals, and principals become superintendents, and superintendents become state superintendents, and state superintendents become secretaries of education. And if nowhere along the way they've been truly prepared to engage families as educational partners in their child, you know, as educational partners, then family engagement really becomes nothing more than good public relations. And I think that's what we have to really change. And the root cause, in my opinion, is preparing teachers to engage.
Yeah,
families.
Well, I think a couple of things in that are really important. And I think part of that is that we also need to not only how we train teachers, but we need to train how we talk about education. And in early childhood, all the way up, we pitch working with kids. And as part of the education system, we need to expand that to, you know, we're talking about working with the whole family. Even if you're just seeing a kid one-on-one most of the time during the day, there's all these other forces that we kind, you know, we talk about, but we don't put as a main part of education as well. I think you mentioned something that I kind of want to expand on a little bit if you can. And so you talk about the state level, working with the State Department of Education to develop this birth through K-12 or birth through 12 plan of family engagement. And I know you kind of briefly touched on that split that has traditionally happened between early childhood and school, and even how they're housed in government as part of Health and Human Services and education and those types of things. What are you guys seeing a change in thinking about education as kind of that birth to 12 path, or what work is being done in that early childhood realm to really engage folks who are working in that space to think about this continuum of family engagement and those who are in the K through 12 to kind of reach back to think about family engagement starting before kindergarten?
Yeah, thank you, Lindsay. So absolutely. So we see family engagement being essential throughout the development of a child all the way up until adulthood. It may look different in each of those stages, but it is equally essential at every stage of development. Societally, what we've done is we've sort of separated education or assumed that education starts at kindergarten. We know that's not the case. We know that education needs to start at the birth of the child. And some programs, and I think PAT would probably be one of them, would say, no, it actually starts before the birth of a child. And yet we have this long time silo and separation of, well, here's what we do for children 0 to 5 before they enter school, early childhood, early learning. And they are often very siloed and disconnected from here's what we do around K-12. From a government agency standpoint, they're typically in different offices, for one. So planning, there are typically not great transitions into kindergarten. So, you know, and we know that the research is clear that when a child is behind when they enter kindergarten, it is very difficult to catch them up. So we really have to be thinking about how are we preparing all children to enter kindergarten. Well, family engagement may look different at these different stages of development of a child. It needs to be one continuum. It needs to be an integrated approach. And I would also say that K-12 can learn from early childhood professionals, because I would suggest to you that the early childhood community has done a better job around engaging families in their child's education than K-12. We really are being intentional about this, Lindsay, of thinking about it's, you know, it's not two separate plans. It's one plan that brings everyone together and to think about what are their individual roles and, you know, what are the collective roles and where is that synergy so that it is really a seamless service delivery in supporting families and ultimately
the
education.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's part of the work. That's why Parents as Teachers and why we're doing this podcast. It's not just for early childhood, because we also believe, you know, not only if children are behind in kindergarten, is it hard to catch up, but also if families are struggling to engage before kindergarten, then we also have, you know, that catch up time for families as well. So we certainly believe in the importance of supporting families and engaging as early as possible so that it becomes second nature by the time they get to kindergarten as well.
So as we talk about that flow from 0 to 18 and even, you know, further, we talk about even in the university setting where they have challenges with helicopter parents. And yet we know for kids to make it through postgraduate education, you've got to have, I know my kids needed financial support substantially, but I still still had to parent, and you know, navigating that is sometimes tough for parents to get on the positive or the negative side. You know, sometimes they're too involved and sometimes they're not involved enough. Mm-hmm. But talk about the flow, you know, and you kind of spoke to that already, is we see great work done sometimes in early childhood. They hit a barrier either at the elementary level when they hit kindergarten. You know, we've got highly trained Head Start parent that hit that wall because it's like, well, you haven't been here for 4 years, so you can't be in PTA leadership, which is bunk. But also we engage them or try to engage them more heavily in elementary. And then we have the challenges, which I think are real. I don't think it's just a bias of burnout parents, tired parents, parents that don't like their kids or other kids that age in middle school and in high school, trying to navigate how do we get independent kids? How do we do all of that? Talk about how you're, you know, how you see those partners working together to get that done. So how do we work with that flow and help people understand the developmental needs of kids? But I also think, you know, we grow as a family as well. And I don't know that we recognize that in the field sometime, that a parent of a kindergartner only has so much knowledge, and yet we need to build on that knowledge for the parent of a middle school kid or parent of a middle school kid, parent of a high school kid. So how do we kind of developmentally work with families through that spectrum as we go?
As we talked about, Mike, family engagement is equally essential in all mm-hmm. stages of development of a child up through adulthood. And I think you're absolutely right. While early childhood has kind of been the model, they've done it best. And I don't even know if I would necessarily say they've been the model. I don't know that we have enough models. They've done it better than K-12 has. But then there is this perspective, and research reinforces it, where the greatest engagement of families is during the elementary years. And yet those adolescent years are critical, right? Those are critical times in child development when your child is on the fence and you're hoping that they fall on the right side of the fence. And so when you think about that and you think about the importance of graduation and the potential opportunities around college and career, how can we minimize the importance of family engagement during such a critical time? And while children may be more independent at that age, again, that's a great example where family engagement looks different, but absolutely there needs to be a level of engagement. And those educators, they need to be able to be intentional and strategic in how they're reaching and engaging those families. There's no question that it's more complex. So this is an area that, you know, again, I think it is a systems issue of how we're preparing teachers, number one, and how are we creating standards that really are explicit around what is expected around engaging families. Far more than, are you coming into an open house? Are you attending a parent-teacher conference? Oh, and by the way, if you're not attending the school, then therefore you must not care. You know, those kind of outputs do not suggest the significance of what families can be doing in working with their kids in the home. The activities that families do, the conversations that families have at the dinner table that are reinforcing, you know, just by asking really good questions of their children. Ongoing communication with the teacher, whether that's text messaging, whether that's emailing, whether that's phone conversations, whatever works, those things are all really important. And I think what we're trying to do is to elevate the importance around strategic intentionality in those areas.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and again, that's the other thing is we have so many tools, some of them very new, and yet we continue at the secondary level to either do one of two things, go back to the old model, which is not necessarily effective. And because it's not effective, then we have that attitude that parents are just too hard to engage, but they may be too hard to engage in a traditional methods, and or we don't give them a chance. In our programs last year, we averaged 100 families per meeting or per event, as we do, over 140 events, primarily elementary, some middle school. In middle school, we see 40 to 60, and you know, we feel like, oh, well, it's not as good as we'd like. That's a home run in secondary. And yet still, you know, sometimes it's still hard for people to, even when they see it, they're like, oh, well, we only got this. Well, no, but you got the 60 families that, and they're not always the families that you would expect. That's the other thing we want people to see, is these are some of the families you've been trying to reach, but you only see the families that sometimes do come more often. You built it for them and not built it for those that don't have the capacity necessarily to come in certain times or those things. And so, you know, I'm excited about the work you're doing. I'm excited about the work we're doing with PAT, that PAT is doing with you guys and everybody in the field. I'm very excited. We appreciate your leadership and the fact, again, the growth that you guys have seen in 4 years is exciting. When I talk about you being a force of nature, it is because you are, and these things are happening because of your leadership and the start of this. And again, that vision for the field. You and I've talked about this before. We're in the wrong business to get rich. We need to be in the business of people need to get paid to do their work, but the work is very important. And I appreciate the work that you guys are doing. We know from this podcast, we want to support you. We want to have you back on in the future when somehow all the stars line up and our schedules collide again. But Vito, thanks so much for your time today. Any parting shots you want to inspire the crowd with? No pressure. You know, just one quote that'll make the difference in the lives of millions. You got one of those for us today?
I don't know if it's a quote that will inspire the lives of millions, but I want to start by just thanking both of you. We're really appreciative of the partnership that we have with Strong Fathers and also with Parents as Teachers. I want to just reach out to everyone on this podcast to encourage you all to be members. We are committed to doing this work, but there is power in numbers. There's no question about this. And what we're trying to do is to create a movement. And that is what's going to be able to advance policy. And that is why, you know, we have this sole focus on this work. But at the end of the day, if this is just about a board of directors and a few staff and mm-hmm. some nice partners trying to move this, that's not enough. And so, you know, really would encourage you to think about being a member of NAFSCI. It is not expensive, purposely so, because we really want that power in numbers, the professionals in the work, parent leaders in the work. That's how we're going to be able to influence, have the kind of influence to be able to advance policy. So thank you both for this opportunity.
Thank you for
your work as well.
No, thank you. The website is www.nafsce.org. We would implore you to look at it. The membership, like you said, is affordable. The resources are priceless. And we're hoping to help all of us, hoping to add more resources to this in the conversation. And we'll put that also in the show notes. So check that out. Vito, thank you for the work. We know that you're going to be out and about over the next few weeks, as we are too. And no matter when you're listening to this podcast, we're going to be out and about. So look for Vito at some of these conferences.
Take care, everyone. Have a great day.
This podcast has been a collaboration between Parents as Teachers National Center and Strong Fathers, Strong Families, LLC. To learn more, visit us at either www.parentsasteachers.org or www.strongfathers.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook